If you've not been here in the last few weeks, we've been talking about relationships. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk to you as we continue in our series, Rated R for Relationships. And we talked about singleness. We've talked about marriage for a couple weeks. And I believe that we were transparent with our relationships. And you saw some of the struggles that we went through. And it wasn't just like, you know, oh, she got mad at me or, oh, I got mad at her. Life is real. And when you don't have Jesus, it's going to be a problem. But when you get Jesus, does that make everything all better? No, you still have struggles, trials, tribulations, but be of good cheer. God not only gave you some common sense, he said, I'll give you wisdom from above. What I want to do is I'm setting the stage today because I want to talk to you about a topic that's not talked about very much, period, let alone talked about in church. So you guys okay with that? I'm going to do it anyway, so are you? here's what I want to do. I want to just kind of release the pressure in the room, so to speak. Release the pressure of those of you. I mean, if you're watching at home and that pressure hits, you can shut me off, right? But I pray that you keep it on and listen to what the Holy Spirit has to speak today. Because there's a question on the floor. What happens when we walk through the doorway of divorce? What does the Bible have anything to say about that? So if you're here today, you may have walked, you're watching this morning, you may have walked through the doorway of divorce. What does God have to say about that after that we've experienced that? Maybe you're going through a relationship right now that's challenging, you're struggling. Maybe you've talked about it. Maybe you haven't, just in your own mind, you're struggling. And you're like, I just, if there was a different way. What does the Lord have to say about that? And if you're here today and you're saying, this isn't even on my radar, we're doing good, then all I'm asking you to do is this. Learn something from what the Holy Spirit has to speak. Because we are the church. Amen? Okay. So if we are the church, if God's going to go and touch somebody's life, guess whose hands he's going to use to do it? Yeah, it's going to be yours. It's going to be mine. How are we going to get there? We got to use our feet. You work with people. Maybe that are struggling in relationships. Maybe the Lord's going to deposit something. Not even maybe. I know he wants to. The question is, would you just be open to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to show us this morning so that maybe we can help others? Because divorce is a difficult topic. And we need not only help from each other, we need help from the helper, which in the Bible is called the Holy Spirit. Now, it's true we all need help. Isn't that right? You know, because sometimes we may not think straight. Kind of a silly but funny story. Husband and wife flying in a plane. They're heading to their destination. All of a sudden, one engine goes. Boom! Pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost an engine, but don't worry. We have three other engines. We're just going to be about 10 minutes late. Whew, husband thought. He was getting a little nervous like I would because I'm not much of a flyer. And he goes on his trip. Boom! Another engine goes out. Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost the second engine, but don't worry. We've got two good ones here. Which is going to be about 20 minutes late. A few minutes later, boom, third one goes out. Oh, good grief, you know, this isn't feeling very good up here. He gets on and says, it's okay, folks, we've still got one engine. We're just now going to be about 30 minutes late. The husband looks over to the wife and says, I'm a little bit nervous. We lose that fourth engine. We're going to be up here all night. You got to think about that one a little bit. In life, sometimes we can look at things and sometimes, you know, argue over things that we think are just silly, and maybe they are, but really it always comes back to the heart. I'm going to look at two different scriptures today. In Matthew chapter 19, you can see it in your bulletins. There's an outline if you'd like to follow along. If you're watching with us at home online, you can bring it up on YouVersion. The outline is there for you. And you'll see that we're going to look at Matthew chapter 19. We're going to find out what God has to say because this topic comes up about divorce. And then we're going to reference back in Deuteronomy the law when they talked about divorce. We don't live by the letter of the law any longer. We live by the letter of love, the grace that God gave. However, just because we live by that love doesn't mean that his commands are null and void, right? Right? Yeah, you still can't kill, steal, you know, the commandments. They're not suggestions, they're commandments. But because of the grace of God, when we're talking about a topic of relationship and divorce specifically, what does God have to say about this? What does His Word say? Because people always ask me the question, and I want to just put this out there right now. If you're feeling at all uncomfortable, relax. I am not here to say, yes, you can get a divorce. No, you can't. That's not my place. I'm here to just bring you back to the Word of God to find out what God has to say. Because even if you've not gone through one or you're struggling right now, this applies in the areas of relationship. Because what we're going to find out is when we're talking about life after divorce or what that can look like, when we went through that doorway or whatever it is we're struggling with in relationship, it always came back to the issue of the heart. It always comes back to the issue of the heart and of the mind. A divorce is not just about, I'm done, and then we physically separate, though that obviously is part of what happens. But before you ever get to the place where you say, I'm done, and separation happens, it first of all happened here. It happened within the heart. So we're going to take a look at this, because the very word divorce brings about, when you say that word, it brings about as many reactions as there are people that are sitting here today. Everyone has kind of a different response or reaction. Some try to not talk about it. Some talk about it too much. Some people use it to abuse somebody else or threaten them. You know, well, if you don't come around and do what I want to do. You know, and we use this in so many different ways. And we got to be careful not to become manipulative. But yet also, if you're feeling or having feelings of relational challenges, we've got to learn to communicate about them as well. This can be a very, when I say tricky topic, I don't mean that there's any question here. The Word of God has something to say. But all I'm trying to say is what we want to talk about today is what does God have to say? What does God have to say about this topic? It can be kind of a taboo kind of a topic. Taboo meaning that's something you know it exists, but you don't want to talk about it too much. We're not here to glorify that. We're here to glorify God. Amen? Amen. We're here to glorify Him. So how can we glorify Him in the middle of a mess? And if you're here today and at any point you feel this condemnation or you feel guilt or you feel shame, I want you to know there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. He doesn't bring condemnation. He'll convict, and He does not bring guilt nor shame. He brings grace and mercy. I point that out just to say, if you feel those things, that's the enemy working on your soul, telling you, yeah, that's you, you know, you're a horrible person, you deserve that, or they, you know, whatever. That's the enemy. That's self. We need to hear what the Lord has to say. Now, let me read to you. I didn't put it in your outlines because it's too long, but you can look at it there. Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, the Pharisees are setting Jesus up. He talks about divorce, but it's not like He's really making the issue about divorce. It's not something the Pharisees, by the way, the Pharisees could care very little about divorce when we're reading this. What they're trying to do is trick Jesus. They're trying to trap Him. They're trying to trip Him up. And it says, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were testing Him, asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Because they knew the law, so they're setting Him up. And He answered and said, have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And He said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And they said to Him, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And He said to them, because of the hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not to be this way. That's important to catch right there. From the beginning, it was never meant to be this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, marries another, commits adultery. And the disciples said to Him, if the relationship of the man with the wife is like this, it's better not to marry. In other words, what happened was they said, we're going to try to set you up and trick you and trip you up. That didn't work. So they said, well, fine, just, you know, whatever. And they walked away from it because they didn't get what they wanted. So again, the Pharisees cared very little about divorce. They were just trying to trick Jesus. And they asked Him why Moses commanded men to give their wives a certificate of divorce. So Let me just stop right here for a moment and say this. Let me address something. Sometimes when you're looking for an answer to the questions in life, it can be very easy to just pick and grab a Bible verse and use it out of context. That's not what the Word of God is there for. We have to take the whole context and understand it. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to have all the smarts in the world. You read your Bible and you say, God, what do you have to say? I ask for people's help all the time. I'm asking for their insight. I'm asking for their thoughts. So you need to do the same and not just pick and grab a verse, because sometimes people just pick and grab a verse out of the Bible to fit their need, And we have to be careful not to do that. When we look at the scripture in Matthew, what we tend to look at is we're looking for a yes and no answer. Hey, pastor's talking about divorce, so we're going to find out today, is it okay or isn't it? I'm just here to tell you today, I'm not here to say yes or no. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God has to say. Every relationship is unique on its own, as we're going to find out in a moment. But God uses this opportunity when the Pharisees bring this up. Jesus wasn't bringing this up. The Pharisees did. And so he uses this opportunity to address divorce. And in so doing, he quotes or addresses why divorce was allowed. If I can use that word, it was allowed. Because he said, it's not to be this way from the very beginning. It's to be man and woman as one. So he addresses it from the beginning, and they question why Moses allowed then a certificate of divorce. So let me back up to Deuteronomy and read this to you. This is what, when they were writing the law, Deuteronomy chapter 24 says, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens, if she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, that he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, sends her away from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. It goes on later to say, if the latter who took her to be his wife dies, then the former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, for she's been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. I read that to you, and I'm sure your brains went, what? I didn't get all that. What it was is they, in Deuteronomy, were just setting up the laws. God shows up, gives them the commands. They're giving laws about how to live life, how to take care of themselves, how to address leadership. And so he just basically says this. He says, there is an allowance for a certificate of divorce. If there's a hardness in the heart towards one another, a man can give the woman a certificate of divorce. By the way, the law always favored the man back then, never favored the woman. The man could do what he wanted, basically, and it was never turned out good for the woman. So thank all the women should be saying, thank you, Jesus, for the New Testament, right? Because here's the deal. We're going to jump back over to New Testament. When Jesus shows up, he says, listen, you used to live by the letter of the law, but now I'm here. We live by the letter of love. It's about grace. And because of that, I've never really said divorce is okay or divorce is good or allowable. But he did say that I've never designed you to stay in a relationship that would ultimately bring you harm or even death in some cases. You see, the Bible's very clear about how God feels, because divorce, before it ever happens, before there's ever a physical separation, it happens in the heart first. It happens in the mind. And when Jesus spoke in Matthew, his focus wasn't on divorce. His focus was on what causes divorce. That was his focus there. So God's desire was never divorce, but because of the hardness of heart, a writ was allowed. Let me just say this. If you've gone through divorce or if you haven't, you need to know this. Because people say, they always say God hates divorce, right? But they never finish that statement, because that leaves you hanging. If God hates divorce, then therefore he must hate me, right? No, absolutely not. Here it is. God hates divorce, but he loves the divorcee. You may have gone through a divorce. You may be struggling right now. But it doesn't mean just because you're struggling that God loves you any less. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that he's near those that are brokenhearted. When you're going through brokenness, he's never been closer. God loves you. He loves me. Now, maybe you're in a relationship and you're struggling, and maybe you haven't voiced it. You're thinking divorce. You're entertaining those thought patterns. I know this is a topic that's kind of like, well, you know, we really don't talk about this much. But so what does God have to say? God, for God, healing, not leaving, but healing is the best option. He wants to heal your marriage. He wants to heal your relationships. He doesn't want you to necessarily leave them. But again, if you're in an abusive situation, that's a no-brainer. No, God never designed us to stay in an abusive situation. If there's physical abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse, things going on like that, God never designed us to stay in that mindset. Are you telling me that he said divorce is no good, so I got to stay here and just take this? No, absolutely not. There's some things God has to say about this. So we've got to make sure that we get God's perspective on this. Whew. Y'all doing okay? How about you guys at home? You doing okay? All right. This is a lot. And this is a topic that people are like, I want to know what God has to say, but there's a part of you that doesn't want to know. And that's simply because when we find out, there's a responsibility that we have to respond to the Word of God. We've got to make sure that we do our part and not look for just any old excuse to get out of a relationship. Because here's the reality. If you struggle with a relationship and you're just looking for a way out, the next relationship you get into, guess who you take with you? You. And you'll repeat that same pattern, or there's a tendency to repeat that. And so don't be looking for the way out. I've shared the story before, but you remember a husband and wife, you know, they're struggling, and he has some health issues. He went to the doctor, and they got the reports. And so the doctor said, ma'am, can I talk to you alone? And he went out to the car. She said, listen, your husband is in sad shape. The only thing that's going to save him is as if you wait on him hand and foot. You must serve him when he comes in the door, give him his slippers, get him his newspaper, anticipate the meals that he wants, cook them, fulfill every desire this man wants, and never tell him no. If you do not do this, he will die. She went out to the car, got in the car. He said, what's going on? What did the doctor say? She said, honey, I'm sorry, you're gonna die. It's easy to look for a way out. Relationships take work, amen? Yeah. No matter if it's marriage, if it's a work relationship, people will challenge you, or at least they should. How you respond to the challenges, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you find life happening. That's also where you'll find friction, right? But you need to understand that it is a work in progress. God does make some provisions for remarriage, by the way. Some people have asked, you know, well, what if I've gone through divorce? Can I get remarried? Because you said earlier that if, you know, you get divorced and you marry another man, then you're committing adultery. Well, remember, we're talking about the letter of the law back then. We're now under grace, and God does give some provisions. Let me give you a few. They're in your outline. Number one, not a popular one, but death. That's one provision. Now, what I mean by that is if you were married and your spouse dies, you are free to marry again if you would like to. Now understand, that is not premeditated death, okay? I just feel the need to clarify for all of you and for you at home. Do not say, so what you're saying is, if I put a little cyanide in his coffee, I can get married next week. No, because it starts here and here. But one of the provisions for remarriage is death. When you are married and somebody passes away, then there's a release, a freedom to remarry. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:39, a wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she wishes. Four key words, only in the Lord. Say that with me. Only in the Lord. That's why we don't, you know, premeditated murder. Not going to work. But death, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. We're going to repeat, we're going to say those again in a little while. We are going to revisit these words throughout the message because that's an obvious reason. If somebody dies, can I remarry? Absolutely. Word of God clearly states that we can do that. So he gives us that provision. And every single one of us are going to face that doorway at some point. We're not in a hurry to do that, but we're going to have to face that at some point. The other provision given for remarriage, number two, is abandonment. Write down abandonment. Here's what I mean by that. 1 Corinthians 7 says a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not under bondage in such case, but God has called us to peace. Here's the key word. If your husband, which means you agreed to marry each other, which means you agreed to live under one roof. But all of a sudden, I'll use Lisa and I as an example. I did first service. Hope that was okay. She didn't slug me in the arm, so I'll do it again. Let's say that, and this was true for us, when we met, we weren't serving the Lord. We weren't Christians. But let's say Lisa comes to know Jesus, and I don't. We're married, husband and wife. And she says, I love Jesus. Aren't you going to love Jesus? And I say, no, I'm not going to. What the Word of God is saying is you still remain married. You're still committed. You just now, Lisa would make me her mission field. And she doesn't have to drive or fly 13 hours. And so it's saying that there's still a commitment that's there. But it says, but if that person leaves, me in this example, if I leave and I say, I want nothing to do with that, the provision is if there's an abandonment, somebody gives up their responsibilities to this relationship and says, I don't want it anymore, then there is a release or a provision that is made for a person who wants to then get remarried, but only in the Lord. But only in the Lord. Well, my husband's been gone 12 hours. Can I get remarried? No! You're looking for a way out when you think that way. And the enemy will put those thoughts in your head, folks. I'm just going to tell you right now. He is going to put those thoughts in your head. Oh, I'd be better off if she wasn't around here. I'd be better off if he wasn't around here. You know. And those are bad thoughts. And sometimes you have them and you feel bad for having them. And you may not be able to stop the thoughts, but you can stop them from staying there. So he makes a provision for abandonment. But again, it's only in the Lord. It's not a command, a provision. I listened to a pastor interview a lady who had her husband leave. They were married for a number of years. And here's what they said. She said the husband abandoned her. And 12 years later, she was still praying for him and did not divorce him. She stayed a woman of God, raised their children, and her pastor said to her, you know that this is abandonment, right? And you know that you could technically remarry, provided going through the legal, making sure to end the relationship in a right way. He just said, you know that you have that freedom. It's been 12 years, and he's left. And she said, I know. I know. He says, okay, I just want to make sure you understand that. And she said, I do. I understand that. She said, but my faith is fine. And she said these words, I'm doing this because God is giving me the faith to do it. What's my point? My point is simply this, and here's something I learned. You and I, in times like these, we must learn to live at the level of our faith. You see, Jane's faith may be at this level, while Joe's faith may be at this level, while Curtis's faith may be at this level, and then you got Amber's faith who's at this level. We're all at different levels. When the time comes and an abandonment issue happens and there's a provision for remarriage, you don't have to get married again, but there's a provision that's made. But it's dependent upon the level of your faith. Here's the third provision that's given for remarriage, unfaithfulness. Whenever there's unfaithfulness in the marriage relationship, it says in the Word of God that it's okay, you can go ahead. And let there be remarriage. Now, I would encourage, having said that, I'm saying that very tongue in cheek. I'm saying it very bluntly, like, if there's unfaithfulness, go ahead and get remarried next week. No, if there's something going on like that in your relationship, you need to get healing first of all, okay? Don't go rushing into another relationship. Take some time, but my point is simply that there's a provision that is given that when there's unfaithfulness, you can remarry. Is that God's plan? If somebody's cheated on me or there's been unfaithfulness, we have to get married. No, God's ultimate plan is healing for your marriage. I told you, I believe that we were blatantly clear in the last couple weeks when Lisa and I preached that we went through seasons like that and there was error on my part. And so should we end that? No, we worked on that but let me tell you folks, that took a lot of work on both of our parts. God's ultimate goal is always for healing. It's never for division. It's never for separation. However, if you've gone through a relationship where there's been unfaithfulness and you're done, there's a provision that's been made. Matthew 19, verse 9 says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, right there, and marries another commits adultery. He's just pointing out the fact that you just don't jump from one relationship to another. But when that happens, unfaithfulness, there is a provision that is made. God's goal, his ultimate goal, is always to bring healing and wholeness into the relationship. And the only way you're going to do that is when you do it only in the Lord. That's the only way that it works. So we react in many different ways, by the way, when we go through relationship challenges. You know, whether it's with your husband or your wife or your children, but we've been speaking specifically about these marital relationships. Ways that we respond when divorce takes place, whether you're the kid, maybe you grew up and watched your parents go through this. Here's how we respond, some typical ways, not all of them, but one is we withdraw. We see mom and dad go through a divorce, or grandpa and grandma, or maybe we're the ones that are going through it. One of the things we tend to do is withdraw. Another thing we tend to do is become what I call the social butterfly. We're in pain, and so what we do is in an attempt to manage that pain, we get more socially active. We start being busy with this person and that person, doing this and doing that. And all we're doing is trying to distract ourselves from dealing with the things that we need to deal with inside of our heart. The third way we respond is what I call playing hopscotch. We tend to, when this environment of divorce hits, we play kind of a hopscotch. And this is when you feel the ground starts to sink from underneath of your feet. And so you react from jumping around. You jump from one relationship to another. You jump from one job to another. You just jump all over the place. And all it is an attempt to manage pain. But what we need to do is the fourth one is this, how we should respond or aim at. And that's to be truly independent is what I put there. Because true independence comes in finding your identity in Christ Jesus. It comes in finding out who you are and how God has made you to be. See, this person achieves balance. Balance is very important. And when you can get balance in your life, you're on the road to healing in your personal life, in your marriage, in your workplace, in all of those areas. So we must aim for that, to be truly independent. Not independent apart from God, but becoming dependent upon who we are in Christ Jesus. That's where our value is assigned. So having said all that, let me just say that as what I share comes from my heart and through experiences that I've not only seen, but that we've walked through, we've towed that line, wondering if the relationship's going to work. The reality is that you may have gone through a divorce and it's been a number of years. We've got to take a deep look inside of our own hearts. Because when you experience a relationship that ends and you go into a new one, before you do, or maybe even if you've moved on, you've got to just kind of do a self-evaluation. Holy Spirit, this is what happened in Psalms. Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any way in me. And that was David crying out saying, show me, let me see it. Why? Because David did not want to repeat the same junk he just went through. How many of you have gone through hard times in life? Well, we can raise both hands and a foot. Here's the next question. How many of you want to go through it again? Well, nobody. Now, we will experience hard times, but we don't have to repeat history all the time. We've got to learn from this. So if something triggers inside of you, don't try to run from it or hide from it. Lean into God and identify it. Maybe, for example, you've gone through a painful, maybe even an abusive divorce or relationship. Anger, violence was involved in all of that, and you got away from it, and you learned to push your anger down. The problem is you could be walking through a store and see a mom yelling at a kid and smack him in the back of the head and say, why don't you grow up? And all of a sudden, something triggers inside of you because you identify with that. You see, if you don't know how to take that to the Lord and give that to him, let him heal your heart, it just stays in there and it becomes like a poison inside of you. Maybe you had a spouse that shouted and yelled all the time, and every time they shouted, you tried to do whatever to make them happy, and that relationship is no longer. But 10 years later, somebody shouts at you and those triggers pop back up. You got to be willing to identify those and say, Lord, I need you to show me. Here's the reality. They're triggers, and they tell us that there's still something under the surface. Don't let that discourage you, though, because God will allow you, by the way, to see those triggers, not to cause you to relive any pain, but he will allow you to see them so that you can be conscious of them and that you can then let God heal your heart. You can let him heal your heart. I know there's things that used to just, you know, trigger me, and they don't anymore. But that's not because I'm so good or so smart. I just knew who to run to. And when I gave that to Jesus, he was able to heal that part of my heart, and he will do the same for you. So you may say, Pastor, I've gone through divorce, or I'm going through it, or what? What do I do now? You know, I'm divorced, so what now? Just four things I want to give you. They're going to come from the Word of God, and I tried to keep them as simple as I could. But the first thing we have to do is come clean. Write that down. Come clean. What do you mean by that? Come clean. Well, what I mean is this: when you have walked through the area of divorce and that brokenness, you and your significant other, you didn't get there because one of them was so good and the other one was so bad, right? I mean, can we just agree on that? You know, even in the obvious ones, well, he was an alcoholic and he abused me and all that stuff. Okay, but it takes two to tango, does it not? It takes two to tango. So what we tend to do is look for the most obvious person that is screwed up so we can blame them and not have to do anything, right? But what God says is when you've gone through that, the first thing you need to do is come clean. In other words, we need to come to a place of taking responsibility and say, Lord, show me what it is that I need to know. Show me what I need to be healed, where I need to be healed. Show me what I need to do so that I don't have to relive this, and then be quick to repent. Repentance is extremely important. When you're coming clean, and you may say, repent for what? I mean, it's obvious. I was the one being abused. What should I have to repent for? For whatever your responsibility was in the midst of that relationship. I don't know what that is. Only the Lord can show you that. But I'll guarantee you there's something there. There's times when I went through life and I would be mad, and it might have even been aimed this way, and the Lord would say, why don't you just take a look at yourself? And I said, I don't want to look at me. Let's deal with her. And he said, no. He said, she's doing fine. You're not right now. I don't want to look at me. Who does, right? And it wasn't until I made a choice to say, okay, Lord, what do you have to say? That all of a sudden the Lord started showing me things about me. And when I was able to address that and come clean and repent and say, Lord, help me, teach me, then all of a sudden I started to become healed. There was healing that took place on the inside. All of a sudden when I got healing, she straightened up. You get where I'm going with this? The problem wasn't really with her. The problem was with me. Well, am I the bad one and she's the good one? No, she had her stuff too. It takes two to tango, right? But nothing changes if you've walked through divorce. Nothing changes until you come clean. There's a difference between I'm sorry and you're repentive, by the way. I'm sorry is important. It's good to say. But there's a difference between that and being repentive. To repent means to turn from sin, or to turn from whatever it is. To be sorry means to feel sorrow or regret. That's what that means. So when you're sorry, you simply mean that you regret the choice of your action towards another person. When you're sorry, you feel some remorse, but not enough to move you to correct what's wrong. Repentance is when you are moved to not only see what was wrong, but to do something about it. That's what true repentance is all about. To be repentive is to experience the feelings of being sorry for what you've done, but not let it stop you there. You move on to the place of repentance. That's what it means to come clean. Come clean in his presence. You're not just sorry, but you're inviting the presence of God. Acts 3:19. Let's read that one together. It's up on the screen. Ready? Go. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. You may say, well, I don't want to repent. Isn't repenting the same as saying it's not my fault? Or saying it is my fault? Isn't repenting kind of saying I'm the one to blame? No, repentance is saying I'm wanting to change. I don't want it to continue this way. Repenting or coming clean is to say, God, I take responsibility for my part. If you're in a relationship, you can only take responsibility for your part. You can't take responsibility for everybody that's involved. That starts when you come clean. And then secondly, write this down. After you come clean, come close. Lean into God. If you've walked through brokenness in a relationship, don't only come clean and own the responsibility, take it to God, but then come close, lean into Him, draw near to Him. If you've gone through divorce, usually one of two things happen. You either completely distance yourself from God or you completely lean into God. May I encourage you, lean in to God. He will heal your heart. God's desire is that you come close. What tends to happen is, when we've gone through that, we want to put distance between us. There's something to be said for taking time, letting some, time heals all wounds. I don't know if I fully believe that. I believe that time does help, but I believe that you have a responsibility in the midst of the time that you're healing, right? We've got to take responsibility there. But then we must lean into God. James chapter 4, verse 8, up on the screen there. Let's read that one together. Ready? Go. Come close to God, and God will. Yeah, that's the NLT version, but you're used to hearing it said, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. He has a desire that in the midst of our brokenness, we lean into Him, just like a child that gets hurt. Now, most parents, I know there's some parents, if my child was running down the road or riding their bike, which, I mean, they're 22 and 19 now, so this is kind of irrelevant, but when they were young, and they would trip and fall and skin their knee and be bleeding, I wouldn't say, rub some dirt on it, suck it up. I wouldn't say that. I would go and I would embrace them and I would wrap my arms around them and I'd be like, it's okay, and I'd hold on to them. Jesus will do the same thing for you in the middle of your brokenness. But people are afraid that when they've made a mistake or they're going through brokenness, that God's going to be the kind of God that'll just say, rub some dirt on it, suck it up, it'll be okay. That's not the way God rolls. He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I'll come close to you. See, when you come to the Father, here's what you're going to find. Open arms. You're going to find open arms. That's why I put the prodigal of the lost son in there. To teach us a story that even in our own ignorance of taking what we want and running off, the Father's arms were still open. And they are for you as you walk through this season. Come clean, but then come close. Because here's the cool thing. God is the only one. Jesus, He is the only one that has all the answers to the questions you have. He's the only one that can answer them. He's the only one that can fix, ultimately, what is broken. If you're going through brokenness, He is the one that will help you make it all right once again. If you're going through pain, we sang it this morning, He's a way maker. And He has a way of making things come about where there's healing and wholeness. But what do? We try to fix it ourselves. We try to maintain it ourselves. The problem is we don't always know what we're doing. I recently put I'm going to say it like it sounds like I did it. I recently put a garage door opener in my garage. That's what I say, but here's the reality. Glenn Williams actually put a garage door opener in my garage, but he taught me along the way. I don't know how to do all those things, but I love to learn. I've always learned that I love to learn. I've had Nick McQuiston in the church. I needed to put some flooring down. I said, will you teach me? I could have said, will you just put it down? And he may have done it. Maybe not Nick. He told me to grab my hammer and show up. But he taught me. Here, what's my point? When you're going through things, situations in life that you don't have all the answers to, you don't know how to fix it, it's not your specialty or whatever, you don't have to have all the answers, but you can lean into the one who does. And He will teach you. The question is, do you want to learn? You go through brokenness in a relationship, it's obvious it's broken, it's obvious you don't want it to remain here, but what's not obvious is, do you want to learn? But that becomes obvious when you choose to lean into God. We must choose to do that. Come clean, come close, and then number three, write this word down, forgive. Forgive. If you and I cannot learn to forgive, we're going to stay stuck. Being unwilling and unable to forgive, you've heard it said before, is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's not going to happen. It's like a cancer that gets inside of you. And it starts to eat you away when you choose not to forgive somebody. Oh, you may be saying right now, oh, no, you did not just say that. You want me to forgive my husband who cheated on me, stole all of our money, took my kid, went on the run. You know, I'm making something up here. You want me to forgive? Yes, I do. In due time, we have to learn to be a people that forgive. Why? He does not deserve it. This isn't about him or her at the time. It's about you. If we can't learn to forgive, then it starts to eat away at us and it starts to destroy us. Psalm 65, verse 3 says, though we are overwhelmed by our sins, you, the you is Jesus, forgive them all. You may be overwhelmed right now, feeling like you can't do anything right, but Jesus says, I can forgive all of that, but you've got to come clean, come close, and then not only receive forgiveness, but be willing to know how to extend it as well. We're pretty good at receiving forgiveness, aren't we? When we're the ones that need to be forgiven, whether it's Jesus, please forgive me, or it's your spouse, please forgive me, or it's a coworker that you got an argument with or something and you know you need to apologize, please forgive me. You want that forgiveness, right? But it's harder when we have to be the one to extend it. Sometimes we hold on to it and don't want to forgive, but it's like we treat it like we have a one-up on them if somebody has hurt us. And so we don't want to forgive because that's like giving away our gold. That's like giving away our card that trumps all things. That's why you see in relationships, sometimes the loudest and most obvious person isn't always the one that's at fault. There's just somebody else behind the curtain that knows how to push their buttons. But again, it takes two to tango. Everyone has to take responsibility for themselves, and they have to learn to forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 says, you can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. In other words, if you're unable to forgive others, then you shall not be forgiven. If you can't forgive your husband, your wife, your ex-husband, your ex-wife, your fiance, the person that left you at the altar, it could be 100 things. If you can't learn to forgive them and you cannot extend forgiveness, you cut yourself off from receiving God's blessings. From receiving God's best. Forgiveness is a key that unlocks true healing to your life. And we all have that void in our heart that want to please the Father. True story, years ago in Mexico, there's a Spanish story of a father and a son who became estranged. And the son ran away from home and the father, you know, he let him go at first and they butted heads and that. And so he got mad and he decided to leave home and the father said, fine, you know, better off anyway without you, and just harsh words, and he took off. But then the father thought about it and the father realized he didn't mean the words that he said, and he really loved his son, but he didn't agree with everything he said or did, but he wanted him back, but he couldn't find him. I mean, we're talking, he went to look for him and couldn't find him. We're talking months. He searched for him for months to no avail. Finally, this was his last effort, his last desperate, last ditch effort to find him. The father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper, and the ad read like this. Dear Paco, his name was Paco, popular name in Mexico, at least that's what I'm told. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven, I love you. Signed, your father. On Saturday, when the father showed up, there was 800 Pacos that were there, looking for forgiveness from their father. I was told it was a true story. It may not be, but the story makes my point. We must be a people that not only desire forgiveness, but learn how to extend it, because there's a void in our life that is always longing to come clean, to come close, and lean into the Father. That avenue is through the avenue of forgiveness. And when you learn that, then number four, write down, move forward. Move forward. What do you mean by that? Well, remember last week we talked about separation. We talked about David, how he had left the Israelites. He went to the Philistines. He was going to go to battle, and they said no. And he returned back to his camp, only to find that his camp had been raided. The women, the children were gone. Things were destroyed. He was angry. He was mad. And he inquired of the Lord. It says, David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? And the Lord told him, yes, go. You see, he did the wisest thing. He went to the Lord. He hadn't been talking to the Lord for a while, or to the Lord. And he finally said, Lord, what do you have to say about this? Do I go after them? And the Lord said, yes, go. Now, that's great when the Lord says yes and when the Lord says go. But guess what has to happen next? You have to actually go. David had to do something. He was waiting on the Lord's stamp of approval before he went forward. And when the Lord said, yes, go, David didn't say, okay, good. Now, I just wanted to know if you'd say yes. I'm not actually going to do it, but I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on this. Now, you see, he had to actually go. In relationship, whether you've gone through divorce and there's still that pain or that numbness where it's like, I don't know. I'm not here today to say that if you've gone through divorce, you need to go find a relationship. I am absolutely not saying that. You need to live at the level of your faith. But you need to know that when you've gone through the brokenness, there still is life after divorce. You can move forward because here is God's ultimate goal. Maybe you're wondering, you know, does that mean move forward in another relationship with another person, or does it just mean move forward through another day? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you. But sometimes our inability to move forward is because we're still in that place of pain and we're still hurt. Maybe you're here today and, you know, that you can identify. Maybe it's you've gone through the season and you're in a better place now. But you just want to make sure that you keep yourself healthy and strong. There's no triggers that are happening. Whatever that means to you, our responsibility is simply this, to inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have to say? Because you and I don't know what God has in store for us. But we can find that out in his presence. You come clean. You come close. We learn what it means to receive, yes, but more importantly, extend forgiveness. And then we've got to move forward. You mean get remarried? You move forward wherever the Lord leads you. Maybe it's going to be in your spiritual growth, your walk with Christ, the depth, so you can have deeper roots in Jesus Christ. Relationships are good. But we talked about singleness. Singleness is being unique, complete, whole, lacking in nothing. That's what defines it, not your significant other. So what's God's ultimate goal here? If we're talking about life after divorce. Here it is, simply put. God's ultimate goal for you and for me when we walk through these seasons of brokenness is to bring healing into our hearts, into our lives, and into our relationships. If you're here today, and there's a brokenness. God wants to heal your heart, but he's not going to make you do it. God's not going to make you do anything. He wants a healthy relationship with you, probably even more than you want a healthy relationship with anyone else. What he's asking for is your permission. Would you allow him to come in? So, well, he's already in there. I'm a Christian and I'm sir. Okay, would you allow him to come into every avenue and every compartment of your heart? And to let his light shine in those dark places so that he can heal your heart. Well, what if I let God in and he shows me what I need to know, but the marriage doesn't last anyway? Then you will become a better you for whatever future God has for you because he's healing your heart on the inside. Here's what I want to do as we close today. I just want to pray for us. And I'm specifically going to be praying for anybody that has gone through divorce. Anybody that's experiencing the triggers and the struggles of, you know, maybe you've gone through a relationship and because of the pain, it seems like you never get a good relationship or have a healthy one because something seems broken and you don't know what it is. God wants to heal that brokenness. But the question is, will you let him? You must give him permission. And God will come in and heal your heart. So I'm going to ask, will you close your eyes with me as we bow our heads and I say, Jesus, I ask for those that are here, for those that are watching online. Lord, you know exactly where our hearts are at, where our relationships are at. Lord God, relationships, though an immense blessing, can also be challenging. And we're asking that you would give us your perspective. We're asking you specifically today, Jesus, what do you have to say about the position that we're in right now? Lord, I ask that you'd come and you would heal hearts that are broken because you have said that your heart has always been to mend the brokenhearted. But Lord, we want to walk in agreement with that, not in opposition. So we give you permission today to come and to search our hearts. If you're here today and that's what you've been longing for, but been maybe even afraid of, I'm just asking today that God will come and search your heart and show you what it is that you need to see so that you can not just see the good, the bad, and the ugly, but that you can take it and present it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do to fix it. But Jesus does. And I'm asking that you would bring a wholeness, Lord Jesus, that you would bring health, that you would bring healing in the midst of relationships. So we leave this place not the same way we walked in, so that for any other future relationship, Lord, we can find you in the midst of it and that we will become better. And when the enemy raises his ugly head and reminds us of the painful past, Lord, I pray that you would raise up your spirit within each and every one of us that reminds the enemy of his enormous ugly future that's in store for him. And that, Lord God, you will give him a peace that surpasses all understanding. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.